Now back to more of the conversation with the Archbishop, with Archbishop Timothy Dolan and Father Dave Dwyer.
And joining us on this edition of A Conversation with the Archbishop is Catholic writer and speaker Brandon Vogt. His new book is The Church and New Media, Blogging Converts, Online Activists, and Bishops Who Tweet. Welcome to A Conversation with the Archbishop, Brandon Vogt.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Brandon. Thanks for being on. Where are you? Where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from hot and balmy Central Florida.
Good day. What area of Florida? What diocese down there?
Diocese of Orlando.
Excellent. Good to hear you, Brandon. Thanks for being here. Sunday Visitors put out your very enlightening new book, The Church and the New Media. And I like it. I just breezed through it. I didn't read the whole thing. I always look to see if I'm mentioned. Thank you.
And the, you gave a blurb.
Way to go.
Near the end of the book, yeah.
So Brandon, bring us kind of give us a thumbnail sketch about it.
Sure. The book is kind of a collection of different voices. You kind of alluded to the fact that you have an afterword, and Cardinal Sean O'Malley from Boston has a foreword. And in between there's 11 other contributors who each share some of their expertise on this new media revolution, looking at how some of these digital tools can be used to further the church's mission.
Mm-hmm. And I think what I look through it, again, thank you. What you're really saying is, look, everybody, Jesus wants us to use every possible tool we got to get his message out there. When you look about it, and you bring this up, Brandon, in your fine book, The New Media, The Church and the New Media, Jesus himself, as the incarnate word, is an act of communication from God the Father. It's almost as if God the Father is sending his only begotten son as his press secretary, as his communication. It is God incarnate. So absolutely. Jesus, the whole incarnation is an act of communication, correct?
You got it. And that's what the church has told us up and down the ages. One of my favorite phrases comes from this media prophet from the 1970s, Marshall McLuhan, who says, "The medium is the message." And later in his life, he converted to Catholicism and applied that phrase directly to Christ himself, saying, in Christ, we have this medium, this communicator, who is also the message himself. And therefore, everything that revolves around that, everything that surrounds our entire Catholic faith, is really a communication of this divine medium. When you look at the liturgy, it's a communication of grace. When you look at the sacraments, likewise, it communicates love and faith and joy and grace. And so our entire faith revolves around communication, and therefore these new media tools should play an integral role.
Brandon Vogt, V-O-G-T, The Church and the New Media from Sunday Visitor. Brandon, I appreciated the honesty in the book because you got your own thoughts, but then you edit some people who are doing it pretty good as far as communication. And many of them, in a very reverent way, are kind of a little critical, saying, you know, the church just isn't doing as much as it should. We need to get much more aggressive when it comes to communication. Would you share that view?
I agree. Yeah, I would. And I think the key word there is we. You know, this isn't a lot of people who are critiquing the church from beyond her bounds. We're all Catholics, and so we're all a part of this body of Christ who is encouraging our own body to get up and moving on this digital continent. And so I think the encouragement is legitimate. Pope Benedict XVI himself in the last few years has been particularly adamant that all of us Catholics need to engage these new technologies to spread the faith, to use them for formation and to build community. And so it starts from the top of the church and it works its way down to the body.
Where would you weigh in, Brandon? Do you think it's fair, because I hear it said a lot, and even by people who love the church, so they're not saying it in a spiteful way, they're kind of saying it more in a hopeful way, that when it comes to communications, especially when it comes to keeping up with all the new technology of information and communications, the church is left in the dust by the evangelicals. Would you agree with that?
I would. My kind of take that I've been telling people is, compared to the evangelical world, I think the Catholic Church, and particularly our institutional arm, is a good 2 to 3 years behind the curve. But when we're comparing ourselves to the secular world, I think we're a good half decade behind. Now, there's many reasons for that, of course. We're a much more hierarchical organization, so, you know, change takes longer. And there's many good parts about that. We're naturally reticent about things that can become potential dangers. But on the other side, I think there is concerns for our lagging. I think we've been a little bit fearful, a little bit scared, a little bit worried about what these tools can bring because they're unfamiliar. They're new.
Yeah, you might be onto something, Brandon. You might be onto something. Father Dave, I don't know what if you and Brandon are, would agree with me, but I what I praise when it comes to the technological revolution within the Catholic Church, Brandon and Father Dave, I rejoice to see the full activity of our lay people.
Sure.
Brandon, you yourself being a grand example. This is an area where our lay people and young people are leading and showing us the way. We bishops, I marvel at when I look at the blogs and the websites of, of committed, educated lay people. Correct, Brandon? You think I'm onto something?
You are. You hit the nail on the head, and I think that's precisely why these tools are such great gifts from God, because when you look at the demographics of the church, the most distant demographic has long been the young adults. They're the ones least likely to come to Mass, least likely to participate in the sacraments, and so on. Yet these are also those who are most active in these new media realms. And so it seems, in a certain sense, believing in the providence of God, that he has dropped these tools at this particular time in history to act as a bridge between the church and those who are most distant from her.
Mm-hmm. So it could really be a fishhook, huh?
I think so. It's a great lure.
Uh-huh. Tell us, just share with our listeners, Brandon, some of the success stories when it comes to the blogging and the online activists with spreading the an agent of evangelization.
One of my favorite examples is involves a priest from the Archdiocese of Chicago, a man I know you both are good friends with, Father Robert Barron.
Ah, he's been on the show a lot, the conversation with the Archbishop. You bet.
Yes.
We're looking forward to his Catholicism project that's coming around
it's
the bend.
It's a phenomenal work, beautiful work. But he, his kind of the core of his evangelistic ministry are these little videos, these little vignettes that he posts to YouTube, which is a site where people can come and watch videos from anybody around the world. And what's interesting is in these videos, he commentates on popular culture from a Catholic perspective. So be it a new book from one of the new atheists, or he might be commenting on a movie like True Grit or whatnot. Mm. But the real magic takes place in the comment boxes, because people can come and comment, critique, and dialogue about these films. And so what he's seen over the years is that atheists and agnostics and many non-Catholics will come in droves to comment on these little video clips he's producing, and he's able to dialogue and even convince some of them of the claims of Catholicism. So
it becomes a real conversation. It becomes a kitchen table almost.
And he enjoys it. I mean, it's the modern day Areopagus is really what he's doing.
There you go. And I love that phrase. And Father Barron's mentioned it sometime before that is like the Areopagus, in the sense that, you know, just like with St. Paul, the majority of the feedback he receives is negative. It's anti-Catholic church, anti-priest, anti-religion. But there are some, just as in the story in Acts chapter 17, there are some who say, you know, that's interesting. I want to hear more. Tell me more about that. And so that is the success of how new media can be used to evangelize.
Brandon, you think I have to confess here, I am really illiterate when it comes to it, but that doesn't mean I don't use it. So I got good people who hook me into these things. So you do a blog, you do this radio program. I might not know how it's getting out there, and I don't need to.
Right.
But I provide the voice or the content because I know we have to be there, darn it. So bishops or pastors or catechists, I guess what I'm getting at, Brandon, they shouldn't be filled with trepidation if they don't know all the if they don't have the technological savvy, right? Because other people can supply that.
Right, right. And what a great way to involve the young people in our church. Find the young person in your parish or in your diocese who's savvy with these tools and invite them to take a leadership position in a digital ministry or helping you set up a blog or a YouTube account or a Facebook account.
Mm-hmm. And it really allows people to have a stake in the church, people that maybe have not felt very valued or that I belong here, because look at mostly it's older people that are involved. And hey, well, I can help you with your website.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have really found.
Yeah.
Right. I think a lot of the studies show that the more young people are involved in parish life, the deeper their connection is with Christ and the church. I know the bishops in their documents on young adult ministry have reemphasized that point, that we need to connect young people with the parish. And this is a perfect way. You have young people who are so technically grounded and savvy in these new media tools and a church who really needs help with them.
Yeah.
Why not bridge the gap and kill two birds with one stone?
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you'd agree or not, Brandon. I have heard it said that the Catholic Church was one of the first religions to get into the newspapers. So, you know, rare would be the diocese that didn't have a newspaper. And if I understand correctly, as an historian, that really started back with St. Francis de Sales, who to this day is the patron of the Catholic press.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about, what, 17th century?
Yeah.
But that Brandon, although we made tremendous strides in newspapers, when the next medium came, namely TV, or radio and TV, we didn't keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had some stars like Archbishop Fulton Sheen or people like that. But in general, we didn't keep up. And the great progress that we had made in newspapers has yet, we haven't really continued that tradition. And now you got, Brandon, some people are even saying, are the days of newspapers over? Would a diocese be better off getting rid of its diocesan newspaper and investing heavily in these other technological ways? What do you think?
I don't think the days of print and our newspaper are over. You know, some people are even scarily pronouncing the death of the book, which, as a bibliophile, terrifies me.
I'm with you there.
Yeah, I don't think the days are over. I think the solution is more both and than either or. What I like to encourage dioceses to do is to dedicate one full-time staff person to online ministry. That's it. It needs to be separate from your communications and public relations departments, which are typically more reactive and are reacting to news that comes out maybe.
Mm.
Online ministry is more proactive and it's more conducive toward conversation and engagement and community. And so a great place to look for somebody like that is to the Catholic colleges, or look to a young graduate who, again, is probably savvy with these skills and who could really help a diocese or a parish just by bringing them on board.
Do you have something, Brandon? Do you put out a blog or whatever? They have one of those?
Yeah, I do. I've been blogging for about 5 years now at The Thin Veil, which is thinveil.net. And again, I can testify to the great power of, for instance, evangelization and formation through blogs. I converted to the Catholic Church just 3 years ago, and so I write on a lot of different issues that would be equally acceptable to Protestant and Catholic ears. And so I've had a number of Protestant readers, for instance, who would read an article I wrote on the saints or on the Eucharist or on Mary, and through the comment boxes have kind of worked their way through some of their own struggles and doubts mm-hmm. with the claims of the church. And I've seen a few of them even enter RCIA. And so I can testify through my own work that these tools have tremendous power that our church has barely begun to tap.
I can't keep up with them. I'm glad my communications people here see that I get copies of the more popular Catholic blogs and all. What are the ones you'd recommend? Like if somebody were listening and saying, oh, I ought to get into that. What a popular way.
Yeah, yes, Brandon, what would you recommend? Anything in particular?
In terms of reading blogs, one of the sites I point people to is newadvent.org, which itself is not a blog, but it kind of aggregates the best Catholic blog stories from around the internet into one place. And so through that, you can get a sampling of all sorts of different writers and opinions and views. In terms of blogging yourself, the two tools that kind of dominate the market, about 95% of bloggers use one of these tools, are Blogger, which is at blogger.com, or WordPress, which is at wordpress.com. And both of those make it easy to really start writing your first blog post within about 10 or 15 minutes. And so anybody anywhere can really pick up and start going.
Are there too many, though, Brandon? I sometimes hear that what's intended to be at its best a source of unity and enlightenment, unfortunately, in some cases, has been reduced to fracturing and name-calling and hate.
Of course,
sometimes.
Of course. I mean, we deal with that in the book. That's one of the negative effects that new media brings, this type of vitriolic, tearing apart, hateful atmosphere, you know. But that type of atmosphere is rampant offline as well. And so I think the church needs to use the same strategy she uses offline, which is to encourage charity and generosity and faithful, dedicated relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We need to bring that same element to the online world. But it's a danger, it's a problem that I think can be mitigated, that I think can be overcome.
Joe, what was that thing in my 2.5 years as Archbishop of New York, I'd say the thing that I was astounded at, that I got the most feedback from, what was that thing last Ash Wednesday when they had somebody came in and did something? What was that? Remember? Was it a... They had me do a message for Ash Wednesday.
For America Online, AOL.
Was that
it? You recorded a brief message on what is Lent, what does it mean, and it went out
I gave up macaroons, I remember that.
Fortunately, Brandon, it's not Lent. But that got a tremendous amount of feedback. It was a brief, I think about 90-second clip about what does Lent mean, what's it all about.
And sort of informal and chatty. Yeah. What's that thing we just did at St. Patrick's Cathedral? Brandon might be interested in that. Didn't we do like even an online Brandon visit to St. Patrick's, a virtual candle, all of that?
For our new St. Patrick's Cathedral website, they have the opportunity to light a virtual candle for a prayer intention. So you launch that at St. Patrick's Cathedral. You had a little iPad there. And
remember?
You just click the button and got the whole thing started.
Mr. Technology. That's
what
that's
you.
Me now. Archbishop Technology.
That's great because, one concern that I'm 25 years old, so people in my generation, one concern they have about the church is that they often see it as distant, detached, as inhuman, you know? And so these little videos, I mean, even you mentioned a little couple-minute video of you kind of just talking off the cuff maybe, that really presents a human face to the church, something that young people can relate to and thereby draws them back to this kind of organic, living, moving institution rather than a drab, distant one.
Is the Holy Father giving us a good example, Brandon? I know I hear a bunch of stuff he does.
I think so. A few months ago, he launched this new Vatican website through a papal iPad. He's obviously the first pope in history to post a Twitter message through an iPad. And a lot of people around the world kind of chuckled at that, thought it was just this PR stunt. But I looked at that and thought, this speaks volumes to the world, because this is an 84-year-old pontiff, the head of the world's largest faith, who really understands the power of new media and is trying to communicate that necessity down, I don't see the leaders of many other major religions taking such a obvious forthcoming action. And so I thought it was a great move by the Holy Father to show how necessary it is for us to use these tools.
Glad to hear. I'd agree with you. How about, I don't know if you ever had a chance to look at our website or anything. I don't know.
Any other websites you'd like to recommend,
not
Brandon?
Not fishing for compliments or anything.
Yeah, sure.
Like anyone that's on the show here, anybody?
Yeah,
Let me mention, Father Dave, I know you're with Bus to Halo.
Brandon, excellent.
Are you sure you wanted to mention him
website.
First?
Saving the best for last, Archbishop.
Yeah, but here's one thing I like about Busted Halo is that it's really conducive toward discussion. These new media tools, what really separates them from past communications is that it's not just a monologue. It's not just a one-way flow of information. Instead, every piece of content that's posted to Busted Halo kind of invites a response, a critique, a comment, an analysis.
Wow.
And so you bring others into the process instead of speaking to them from a high platform.
There you go. Dave, way to go. You got a lot of compliments on that one, didn't you?
Yeah, I only had to poke him a little bit.
He's kind of high on this. I'm kind of glad
he... You can send a check to Orlando, Florida, Father Dave.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm kind of... It must be valuable work, which I'm glad, because that may be your full-time job. since I'm not... You kind of got more compliments than I did.
You're in the book.
Oh, Brandon, thanks. We always we just like to keep the folks at this conversation with the Archbishop just aware of stuff going on in the life of the church. And when I saw your book, you were kind enough to send it to me because you were gracious enough to ask me to write an afterword for it. And I really, when I was going through it, I said to Joe Zwilling, Joe, let's get Brandon on because sometimes the church gets blasted for not being savvy about this. And you show that, hey, we can do it better. You bet we can. But we're pretty much immersed in it. I'm glad, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You think, I don't mean to be irreverent, Brandon, but if Jesus is here today, Jesus is alive today, but if the incarnation had happened now, if this was his 33 years, would he be using all this stuff, Facebook, Twitter, all that?
It's curious. I've read many different opinions on that question. I don't quite know where I stand, but I will say this. If St. Paul was here, I think he'd be an enthusiastic user of new media around.
There you go. You go. Instead of the frequent flyer miles, he'd be doing the... Hey, and by the way, Brandon, we're at the... even though the show is being aired on October 20th, we're taping this on October 18th, which is the feast of St. Luke the Evangelist. You talk about communicators, the Gospels, right?
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Way to go, Brandon.
The only Gentile among the rest of the writers of Holy Scripture. And so the one, therefore, who's trying to open a conversation with the greater world. That was a motif of Pope John Paul II, was that we as a church need to open the doors and communicate with the rest of the world. And so he talked often with Jews and Muslims and atheists and people from all faith traditions. I think that is what we need to use new media to do today.
Bravo, Brandon. Keep us posted. Keep up the good work. Thanks. The Church and the New Media, Brandon Vogt, V-O-G-T, from our Sunday Visitor Press. How could they get it, Brandon, if they want it? What's your
first
tag
place,
there?
Sure. First place I point people to, of course, is the local Catholic bookstore around. It's good to support them. But beyond that, you can go to the website for the book, which is churchandnewmedia.com. It's churchandnewmedia.com, and you'll find all sorts of extra stuff there as well.
Ooh, bonus stuff.
Way to go, Brandon.
Excellent.
Come back, will you? Visit with us again on this conversation with the Archbishop.
I'd love to. Thank you.
And coming up on A Conversation with the Archbishop, joining us right here to talk about ethics, Father Thomas Berg. He is the Executive Director and President of the Westchester Institute for Ethics and the Human Person. He'll join us when we return. So keep it on the Catholic Channel, Sirius and XM 129.